Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast. We discuss an array of topics related to gender and identity in the modern world, as well as how we communicate verbally and non-verbally with others and internally. My name is Danielle Harding, and today's topic is one that affects almost every person's conception of self, either mentally, physically, emotionally, or any combination of the three. I am talking about the fat talk cycle. We will be sharing stories that show the effects the fat talk cycle can have on a person, as well as tips and tricks to combat these effects and escape the control the cycle can have on one's life. On today's podcast, I will have a couple guests that will share their personal stories with the fat talk cycle. I will also share my personal struggles with the fat talk cycle and then share some insight from professional papers regarding the effects the cycle can have on one mentally, physically, and emotionally. So when we come back, we'll be joined by our first guest, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast. We now return to our podcast, Already in Progress. And welcome back to our Fat Talk Cycle podcast. We have our first guest here, Melissa. She's been a dear friend of mine since middle school, and we wanted to kind of share a little bit of her personal experience with the Fat Talk Cycle. And so I've prepared a couple questions for her. Melissa, thanks for coming today.
No problem.
So my first question for you is, as women, obviously we're participants of the fat talk cycle. But for you, when did you first notice that you were participating in this, coin phrased fat talk cycle?
I would say when it really first set in was when my now husband and I started to become serious and a lot of insecurity started to surface.
Okay. Do you personally feel that the mental aspect of the fat talk cycle was more damaging for you as a woman than the physical aspect, especially with you and your now husband becoming more serious?
For myself, it was more of the mental aspect I've dealt with, but I do feel like it's equal in a way, and the mental aspect of the cycle can lead to things in the physical aspects.
That's a really good point. I would have to definitely agree with that, because your physical appearance can affect your mentality, but then also your mentality can affect how you appear on the outside if you're discouraged or depressed. So I think that's a great observation. So do you find yourself, now that you and your husband have been together for a while, do you find yourself still struggling with the fat cycle? And if so, are you taking any steps to try to combat that?
I would say yes. It still is a part of my life. The biggest thing for me is to be aware of when the cycle is creeping in so I can retrain the things I say to myself. I also try to remain healthy, which helps keeps me confident.
Awesome. So since, trying to stay more healthy and improve your confidence, have you seen a change in your mental health since putting these things into effect?
Absolutely, but it still is a practice sometimes in daily habits. It does come up more often when, I'm finding something to wear. I've also noticed a change in when I'm using something such as MyFitnessPal, and my mentality on using it has changed, and it has become less stressful.
Okay. So MyFitnessPal. So for those that don't know, it's a great app for tracking your calorie intake. It'll give you your macros and tell you your protein and your carbohydrate and your fat intake for the day. It's great to help you in losing weight. But like you said earlier, we were talking about the mental and physical aspect kind of play hand in hand. So for you, by using the MyFitnessPal and planning out your week and what you're going to have, it almost sets you up better, not only for your intake, but just mentally feeling prepared for the week.
Yes. Okay. There's definitely a lot of you know, it's less stress trying to pick what I'm going to eat, last minute decisions, putting the right stuff in my body to remain healthy and confident.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, as women, we have enough stress in our lives, so anything we can try to do to alleviate that is fantastic. Okay, so then my final question in regards to the fat talk cycle itself. In your opinion, do you feel that you can ever truly break the fat talk cycle, or is it just kind of something that as women we deal with and just learn to live with it?
It's definitely a choice for each person to make. People face things different ways. So I've decided to work on resolving it within myself. Others may decide to just live with it and keep being, you know, maybe unhealthy to what leads to their mental aspect on it. Or they might try to change it. But the things that I think make it harder to fully resolve are the external aspects of it that affect our mental aspect. So entertainment, magazines, social media, everything that puts the ideal image for a woman out there will affect what we're doing and what we're thinking. So we have to watch what we put in ourselves, what we, you know, focus on, what we look at, what we let trigger those things in ourselves.
So it's not just necessarily about the food intake, you know, and keeping your body healthy, but keeping yourself mentally healthy with like the images that you see. And I mean, we all know, like you said, you know, it's that having the perfect body. And even though we know, you know, the magazines and the media and stuff, they airbrush things and they do editing, but we still have this unrealistic expectation of what we think we need to be. And I agree with you that it can be physically tolling, but I think it can also be very mentally tolling because you're playing an internal mind game. Absolutely. With yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's great that you've put, you know, all of these personal goals and stopping points, you know, I'm not going to, you know, saturate my brain with the media and let it affect me. I know that's not real. And focusing on yourself, I think that's a huge step in, I wouldn't say recovering from this, but definitely combating it as a psychological disease almost. Yeah. You know, we're taught from very young age that you have to look a certain way or talk a certain way or be a certain way as women. So trying to kind of break that mold. And I think you're at a young enough age that we both are, that we can kind of break this apart to where as we get older, we can kind of learn to, you know, not sweat it. It's the small stuff, you know, like be happy with who you are.
Right.
And as long as, I mean, hey, as long as your husband's happy and you're happy, I think that's all that really matters. So
yes, love yourself.
Exactly. Love yourself. That's the mantra for this podcast. Well, thank you very much for coming by. I appreciate your time. Hopefully those that are out there listening can relate to the stories that Melissa was just sharing, and her perspective, and just know that, you know, you're not alone in this. And, when we come back, we're going to have our second guest of the day, and she's going to share with us, you know, her take on the fat talk cycle and when it started for her. We're going to ask her some of the same questions we asked Melissa, but she's going to have a very different perspective on it, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast. We now return to our podcast, Already in Progress. And we are back here continuing our Fat Talk Cycle podcast. My second guest has arrived, and her name is Chelsea. She is another great friend of mine from high school, and she's agreed to come and talk with us today a little bit about how this now, you know, coined term, fat talk cycle, has impacted her life and how she's dealt with it. So, Chelsea, thank you so much for coming to talk to us today.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. So when did you first notice that you were, you know, participating in this quote-unquote fat talk cycle?
So I kind of had to dig back and think about when it all actually started. And came to the realization that it was near our 10-year high school reunion. And honestly, I didn't want to be considered the skinny cheerleader from high school that got fat. Gotcha. And that was like the biggest thing for me. And I dropped weight. I dropped about 40 pounds. just that's to awesome. Make sure that nobody said that about me. But that's like such a bad thing, you know? I was doing it for other people. I wasn't doing it for myself.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's great that you can kind of look back on it now and realize, you know, like, yeah, you did it and it had great benefits for you, but was it really for you? Or, you know, yeah. I mean, and like you said, it was obviously,
and it wasn't. And that's why I think it, like, you know, it didn't work that time. Like, yeah, sure, it worked for maybe a few months, but then it didn't stay that way because I didn't do it for myself.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, talking about the physical aspect, do you personally feel that the physical aspect of the fat talk cycle could lead, you know, not necessarily for you, but to others, to like malnutrition or like bulimia and other diseases like that?
For me personally, it wasn't. I didn't really have that kind of mentality, I guess, probably because I didn't do it for myself in the first place, but
gotcha.
It wasn't an issue for me, but I can definitely see how if you're not strong-minded and if you don't have a good willpower, that it can break you down. And especially with social media nowadays, mm-hmm. It's really hard to look at something and kind of not think negatively to yourself. But for that, I definitely think you can have some sort of disease, anorexia, mm-hmm. bulimia, malnutrition. But for me, it wasn't an issue.
So probably if it's left unchecked, like for others, you right. know, it could definitely present itself. Like, I mean, because I know you, and I know that you're a mentally strong person, you know, and you can put those checks and check on yourself and check in with yourself. But for somebody who maybe has gone down the road a little too far, you know, it might be a little hard to come back from that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. It's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it definitely can be. So, you know, we were talking 10-year reunion. So that was, you know, a little bit ago, not that long, we're not that old. But do you still struggle, do you think, with the fat talk cycle? And if you do, have you tried to do anything to kind of combat that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I almost every day have an issue, whether, you know, I'm scrolling on social media again with that and just thoughts that I have of myself. But I have, gone to a doctor and nutritionist to kind of maintain everything on a bi-weekly basis. And for me though, this time, like we were talking earlier, I feel like it's different because mm-hmm. I'm doing it for me and it's only for me. It's not for anybody else. So it's been working really well. I've also posted a chart of my weight loss on the back of my door so nobody okay. sees it, but mostly just for me to see it every day and just be proud of myself that I've come so far. Mm-hmm. And I put little words next to it on how I feel okay. when I get to a certain weight or something. Mm-hmm. So I know I can look at it and be like, hey, you know, this is great. And I always want to feel this way.
Right. Okay. Awesome. So yeah, that kind of leads into my next question was, have you seen a change in your personal self-image since putting these into place? Obviously you have. I think you've put some great, checks and balances into place. I think that board is an awesome idea. It's almost like, having like a self mantra every day. Like you're putting that mantra in place for yourself. So I mean, if you want to elaborate on that a little bit, as far as what changes have you seen?
So it's been almost a complete turnaround. It's, I'm a lot more confident, and my negative thoughts, not that I don't ever have any, but I'm definitely not as mean to myself. I know a lot of women can relate to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not like always having a negative thought about the way I look or physically or the way I thought I used to look, you know, like
right.
how bad I would talk to myself about it. And I feel better in general. I feel like healthier mm-hmm. and more confident, of course. And even when I just try on clothes, it's just a whole different thing for me, which mm-hmm. is really cool. And that's another thing I put on my board, you know, like, remember how you feel, remember how it was putting on the skinny jeans from like 3 or 4 years ago, and right. they're just perfectly fine now, you know, yeah. stuff like that.
Excellent. That's awesome. So in your opinion, do you think that you can ever truly, like as a woman, do you think you can ever truly break this fat talk cycle, or is it something that unfortunately you just kind of have to live with and deal with?
Unfortunately, I don't think you can break it.
Okay.
I'm not on this side of, I like to be realistic,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can, unless you are someone who has never had to worry about weight, like mm-hmm. someone just, you know, that they don't think they're too skinny, they don't think they're too fat, you know, maybe right. that person won't ever have to worry about it, but whether you had to worry about gaining it, because mm-hmm. I've talked to some women that feel like they are too skinny, mm-hmm. and they wish they did have a little more fat on them, and then there's the women like me that, you know, I knew I had to lose the weight, and it's not, I don't think you can break it, because whether you be on social media and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I see this girl and I wish I looked like that, or man, how come my legs don't have that muscle? What is that? Is that a real muscle? Like, where is that right. coming from, you know? And unless, you know, even on yourself, like, oh, I used to be able to fit in these jeans. Like, what happened, you know? Or like, I used to be in such great shape and now I'm not. Like, what is going on? And it just always cycles back, even if you don't mean it to. Like, you don't even have to be thinking about it and for it to pop up in your brain. You can just see an image or see a picture of yourself 4 or 5 years ago or whenever in high school. And you just have those negative thoughts, and it's almost, it's a vicious cycle. I do think we just end up living with it and dealing with it, whether we're going to try to lose the weight or we try to fix the cycle. But the good news is that you can grow. So when you grow, your mind grows. And mm-hmm. where, in my opinion, like, that's where the change comes.
So, I agree with you in the aspect of, you're never really going to truly get away with it, especially yeah. with the way social media is now. I mean, and yeah, maybe magazines aren't such a popular thing anymore. It's more social media, but between Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and even Facebook, and I'm sure there's, you know, a bunch of other platforms I'm not even thinking of at this moment. It's constantly being pushed down your throat. So I think on a personal level, like you said, you make those changes and you can make yourself better, but you're never going to escape with it. So I don't think you're necessarily living with it because you are trying to make the changes necessary to make you love yourself more. Right. Hashtag love yourself. That's the mantra for this podcast in case you haven't figured it out yet. But you can't love yourself, but then constantly focus on the social media. And we talked with our guest earlier, Melissa, and we talked a little bit about kind of, you know, being careful what you put in front of your eyes. And I think that that plays even an aspect into the physical of, like you were saying, like with the muscle definition that somebody has, why don't you have that? Well, we're all built different. We all have different genetics, and the rational side of our brain knows that this, that I'm not the same. I mean, me and you are not the same. We don't have the same gene pool. You know, we don't have the right. same ethnic backgrounds and all of that, but right. you know, we could still be in competition. Like, oh, your leg muscles are more defined than mine. Why is that when we both run 3 miles a day together? Like,
right.
you know, so learning to break that cycle within yourself, I think, is the best way to live with it. Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing this with us today. It was great to have your perspective and your point of view. When we come back, we're going to talk about some peer review studies that we've looked at and some psychology papers that I've pulled, just to kind of show how much of a mental and physical aspect this can take on somebody. We touched a little bit about like some of the diseases that it can have and seeking help from a dietitian or a doctor, but also seeking help from a psychologist, and knowing when you yourself have gotten to the point where you need to talk to somebody to make it better. So when we come back, we'll touch on those. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast. We now return to our podcast, Already in Progress. And welcome back to the Fat Talk Cycle podcast, where I will now share with you my personal story involving the Fat Talk Cycle. I discovered that a medical condition was causing my weight issues, which has made me now realize that it's not all about physical appearance, and that it's okay to ask for help when trying to break the cycle. I've always struggled with my weight, which made me feel just, you know, unacceptable in my appearance, and has caused me to speak poorly of myself compared to my friends and my family. I can think of many situations when I would be out with my friends and I always felt like the fat kid in the group, or, you know, just comparing myself to, like, gosh, they look so nice, they work out so hard, like, I work out hard, why can't I look like that? So, you know, the fat talk cycle, like we've discussed with our previous guests, can have mental and physical attributes to it, but it can also affect you emotionally, you know? So I felt like I was pretty sometimes, and I'd had all the confidence in the world, but then I would get around friends who were either skinnier than me or just looked prettier than me, and I felt so inferior. And it made me emotionally sad, you know? I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit I would cry about it sometimes. And it's not anything that they did. They were just out there living their best life, doing their thing, and it was me. It was an internal mental struggle, and just being unhappy with my physical appearance and the way that I felt and the way that I looked. So this led to depression, you know, like I said, unhappiness in my own skin and so many crazy diets on my part. According to a scholarly article titled Fat Talk and Self-Presentation of Body Image, written by Britton, Martz, Benzini, Curtin, and Lechebon, the social norm is for women to self-degrade their own body image. Corning and Gondoli share in their scholarly article, Who is Most Likely to Fat Talk?, that the negative fat talk about food, weight, or the body that occurs among women is gaining increasing popularity. So I tried every special design workout. I went to boot camps. I tried the strict diets, like I said, but I wasn't able to lose any weight. In fact, I was still gaining weight, and I was beyond frustrated, and I felt so defeated. So I didn't know what to do. Following a sample of 55 women with eating disorders over a 2.5-year period, Troop and Redshaw found that the shame about the body specifically predicted an increased risk of worsening symptoms of eating disorders, such as anorexia, bulimia, overeating, and more. So I finally had enough, and I spoke with my doctor about my struggles. And through multiple tests and labs, we discovered that I have a condition called Hashimoto's disease. And through medications and a proper diet, this disease can be controlled. It can never be cured, but at least I know now that it's not just me overeating or not working out hard enough. There's a reason that I struggle to lose weight. So I've done some extensive research on the mental effects that having a poor self-image can cause, and I found some really helpful articles. One article from Cyclopedia and the ASP, which is the Australian Psychological Society, was very helpful. Dr. Mill's research revealed that during an average week, 4 out of 5 young women experience fat talk about their personal appearance and another person's appearance. And even though it might seem like a harmless way to alleviate body dissatisfaction, the opposite is true. Fat talk can have a negative effect on one's body image. Fat talk actually draws attention to the parts of the body women dislike, which in turn lead to decreased body satisfaction. Dr. Whitborn, in her research, has found that some of the increased risks women have for psychological disorders can be traced back to a negative body image that even more negative, made even more negative by fat talk. Although I'm not, you know, where I want to be yet as far as my weight, I am definitely in a much better place mentally, and I feel that I can finally be happy with myself for the first time in a long time. Along with my dietitian, psychiatrist, and some research, I found some strategies that help, you know, to try to stop the fat talk cycle. NEDIC, which is the National Eating Disorder Information Center, based in Canada, published an article written by Sarah Royal, who shares some amazing tips. First, she states, you know, consider the risks and the benefits of continuing the fat talk cycle versus not continuing it, and your participation in the cycle. Speak to a therapist if you can, or a close or supportive loved one about just how you're feeling. Next, try to be more aware of when and how often you participate in the cycle. Write it down if you need to. Visual representation of your participation can bring to light just how dependent you've become on the cycle and just how much you participate in it. Also, try changing the subject. If you're out with your friends and the fat talk cycle comes up, try to change the subject and get them to talk about something better as well. And lastly, promote a positive body talk. Either in the privacy of your own room, like Chelsea shared, you know, she has a board that she hung up, and it's like a self-motivation board, and she tracks her weight and how she felt on certain days when she got to certain points. That's, you know, that's self-motivation, that's positive body talk for her on her own. You can also do it when you're with your group of friends. Try to be positive for each other. So hopefully, through this podcast, you've come to know that if you have participated in the fat talk cycle, it's okay. You are not alone. And I hope that today's podcast has shown you that it's okay to talk about it, but just keep it in a positive form. If you feel you're struggling, speak up and ask for help. Odds are you know someone who's struggling with the fat talk cycle. You just don't know that you know them. By talking about it, we can find that community of friends and participants who are looking to break the cycle and be there to support each other. I also hope that this podcast has taught you some techniques to try to retrain your brains and break the cycle, whether it's from some of the self-found techniques that helped our guests, Melissa and Chelsea, from earlier, or some of the ones that I shared from some of the psychology journals that I pulled. I hope they help, but I invite you to continue to listen to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast, because we do discuss a great deal of topics regarding gender and identity in the modern world, as well as how we communicate verbally and non-verbally with others and internally. So thank you for joining us today. And remember today's theme, love yourself.